It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thuras here. Mary Jo Foley's here. Microsoft's renaming Microsoft Office to Microsoft 365. Not. I guess we got it all wrong. We'll take a look at the latest update for Windows 11 22H2. Can you tell the difference? Paul and Mary Jo will explain. And a new Windows UI that they snuck into the Ignite keynote. Paul and Mary Jo explain what that's all about, too. It's all coming up next with a lot more on Windows Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thuras and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 799. Recorded Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. Would you like salsa with that? Windows Weekly is brought to you by Drata. Security professionals are undergoing the tedious, arduous task of manually collecting evidence. With Drata, say goodbye to the days of manual evidence collection and hello to automation, all done at Drata speed. Visit drata.com/twit to get a demo and 10% off implementation. And by Tanium. Tanium unites operations and security teams with a single platform that identifies where all your IT data is, patches every device you own in seconds, and implements critical security controls, all from a single pane of glass. Are you ready to protect your organization from cyber threats? Learn more at tanium.com/twit. And by Lenovo. Orchestrated by the experts at CDW to help transform your organization with Lenovo ThinkPads equipped with the Intel Evo platform for effortless connectivity and collaboration from anywhere. Learn more at cdw.com/Lenovo Client. It's time for Windows Weekly. Hello, dozers. Hello, winners. It's time to talk with these cats. He's a dozer. His name is Paul Thuras. He comes from Windows via Amiga. I had a guy call and say how much he missed, no, how much he loved his Amiga 1200, and he was still using it.
That's what I always wanted.
Yeah. He was
I had a
big
500
in,
and a 600.
He was still making the demo music, the demo scene stuff.
I'll never forget. I went to the local Commodore dealer when the Amiga 3000 came out, and this guy was showing it to a customer. And he said, well, how many megabytes it came with or whatever. He goes, you got to get all the megs. And I was just like, yeah, that's good advice.
Get all the megs, baby. And this.
Got to get all the megs.
This over here is your winner, is Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul is in Mexico today and for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Today we shall talk about Windows 11. What's the latest?
Latest silliness.
Yeah. Well, this is a total surprise because we heard this was going to happen in week C, as Microsoft calls it. So this week,
Wait a minute. This is
week A, B, and C, and D. This is how they talk about what
yeah,
that
it's word? Oh say can you see week, and that's the week, that's optional week update C. Week.
What's wrong with 1, yeah. 2, 3, and 4?
Oh, Leo, you obviously don't know computer science.
Numbers? Why numbers? Let's go with
that. That's so strange. Okay, so we're in C week.
Which is optional patches and cumulative updates, so people can preview them before the next patch Tuesday. And so, lo and behold, we get the set of missing Windows 11 features that they announced would be coming.
Well, asterisk, by the way.
True. I know.
We've only gotten one of them, from what I can tell.
Yes. Yeah. So, they said in a blog post yesterday, hey, here it is. If you want to download the optional updates this week for Windows 11 22H2, you're going to get all these things we talked about, like tabbed file explorer, suggested actions, taskbar overflow, and... this was a surprising one to throw in there. Mm-hmm. And the thing we recently started talking about, right-click on your taskbar to jump immediately to Task Manager.
So let me ask about that one, because did they actually say that, or did it just appear?
It's in the blog post.
It is? Okay.
It's in, yesterday's blog post. It's mixed in with the taskbar overflow item, but not a single person I have talked to or myself who actually went out and did the C-Week patches. None of us have it, right? So I said to Microsoft, so is that there or is it not there? Like, it's weird this showed up in the list of things. It's weird because it wasn't in the preview. Yeah, okay. Right. So they haven't responded about if it's there or not there.
Okay.
Yep. And this is in the optional updates?
Optional updates that came out yesterday.
Okay.
And actually, so given how critical I could be about Windows Update stuff in particular, or Windows 11 in general, I will say the one thing that they do right is this optional update thing, right? So you won't get it by mistake. You can't seek it and get it by mistake. You have to explicitly say, I want to get this thing. So I think that's smart. It does give people who want to give a chance to, you know, want a chance to take a look at it to do so. Good. There's Mary Jo basically ran down the list of what should be in this update. Only one of those things is there. Yep. The other ones are all coming later. That one is going to the right click the taskbar to get to the task manager option is going to roll out in the coming days. It's not there today. Now there are, you got to remember, or you should know, these things are actually all built into the system right now. They're all, those features are all there. They just
have
to
be unlocked. Right? Yeah,
that's right. So if you Google this, you can find there's some things you can do to enable these features, including right click the taskbar to get task manager. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do that, you can. For me, you know, because I'm working on the book and this sort of has to be the baseline for it. Mm-hmm. I need this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And this taskbar thing, which I didn't think was going to happen because they never mentioned it. Well, they mentioned they were working on it. It was in the dev. Was in the dev channel, but we were thinking next spring, you know, something like that. So I'm going to have to go back and rewrite some of my more caustic commentary about that. But anyway, it's coming. So it's kind of to get slip back into my more normal mode. It's kind of strange how they're rolling this out. You know, they announced it was coming. Everyone went and downloaded it. Everyone got file tabs, which I think is what people were looking for, file explorer tabs. Mm-hmm. But that other stuff is not there. Suggested actions are not there.
Yeah. If you look at the way this blog post is worded, it makes it seem that it is there, right? Like it doesn't say, and this will roll out in the coming days. It doesn't say that. It just says it's there, right?
So my theory is some of that stuff might wait for November. For the B-Week, you know, Patch Tuesday normal update. Mm-hmm. But they did say explicitly for the task manager option, which, again, never said was coming until the blog post. That one will be coming in the coming days. Although I suppose November is the coming days. So, you know.
Yeah, it is. Right.
So is December. No. So is January.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what I don't like about this? I'm putting my Paul Theroux hat on right now with this criticism. I'm going to say they cannot communicate. And I'm just like, here's why I'm mad about this, because they spent a lot of time in this blog post yesterday saying, okay, this is how we're going to make this predictable for people so that it's not, it doesn't seem like we're just doing this willy nilly, right? They're like, we're going to tell you it's coming in the optional update week. You're going to be able to test it, look at it, check it out. And then it will roll out in one of the subsequent patch Tuesdays. Okay, that sounds like great, predictable, like very methodical. And then you get it this week, and of the 6, 7, 8 features listed, one is there. There's none of the other ones are there, and there's no mention of this at all. Like, where are they?
You know what's interesting? I'm listening to you explain this, and you're right. You're 100% right. And normally this would outrage me, and I feel like they might have just beaten me down. At this point, because I hear that this is the case, or I see this is the case, and it is the case. You're absolutely 100% right. And I'm like, I can't even summon the outrage anymore. It's just, it's a minor thing, really. Yeah.
It's kind of minor, but it also, it's like they want to demonstrate, especially to enterprise and education customers, like this isn't just going to magically show up and you're going to be forced to use it, right? Like there's going to be controls. There's going to be a preview period. There's going to be all this stuff. And then they do this and they roll it out. And there's, if they had just put like a thing saying, okay, the one feature that's there right now is Tab File Explorer and the other ones will be in the coming days. All they had to do is right?
That's exactly the point. That's exactly right. Right. So the issue here is clear.
The right click thing on the taskbar is that one sets off some red alarms for me because I'm like, wait, so like you said, this was in preview in the dev channel. And then it just seemed to skip out of the dev channel and go into the final build of this set of cumulative.
Oh, no, it didn't seem to. It literally did. That's exactly what happened.
So that's pretty weird, right? So, like, shouldn't it go through release preview, blah, 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 right?
Look, I'll just say this. The task bar, as I understand it, Windows 11 is built with XAML, which is this descriptive XML type language. Adding a menu item to an existing menu is a trivial matter.
Right.
Okay. An event handler that will launch a single application, not difficult. But yes, I mean, they have in the past week alone released two release preview builds of Windows 11 2022. Mm-hmm. If you've been following along, you'll see dev channel, beta channel, release preview channel builds every week. Mm-hmm. There seems to be some, it seems to be progressing as it would, features move their way down the chain. But yeah, this one jumped to the head of the line. It is a fairly trivial feature. And I think one of the
something
more
a lot of people wanted.
Clients, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, it begs the question,
it begs the question, though, like, why did you ever take it away if it was that trivial to put it back? Right.
Well, okay. So, what are you doing to me? I'm going to defend Microsoft. So, here's
what?
The thing.
What?
This is, I know. Maybe it's because I'm in Mexico and everything's just.
I think
it's
you're eating a certain food that's making you more agreeable. Yeah. Something is happening.
Let me tell you the
picante side of this conversation. Yeah. No, it's. It is hard to do what they're trying to do with the Windows 11 UI. And what I mean by that is they've decided they're going to simplify it. There is no way to simplify the Windows UI without taking away features. So you can either be serious about it, or you can do what I think they're going to do, which is dabble in it and then slowly over time give in to all the criticism and bring everything back. I think that's how it's going to go. I just don't think there's any other way. I give them a little credit for holding out.
Right.
I give them a little credit for saying, hey, look, there's no one using the taskbar on the sides of the screen or the top of the screen statistically. I know there are people, but it's a tiny audience. It doesn't make sense to support that. You have to kind of make a stand, or you don't. You either do it or you don't. So this one, I think, passed some bar because so many people needed it. It was such an obvious thing. Look, Windows 11 is going to be simpler. It's not. And if it's not, just give up. I mean, so they're, I don't know. They took a stand. So, again, I don't like the way they're doing things, but I semi-respect that because what they're trying to do is difficult. And please don't make me do that again.
As our friend Taro Elhonen notes, there is a footnote, a buried footnote at the end of the blog post yesterday. It says timing of feature deliveries vary by device, OEM, region. Okay. Well, sure.
Okay.
There is. But you guys made this look like it was all there. Yeah,
but that's also not true. That's literally not true. You could have ended that sentence after the word vary, and it would have been true. And the reason is not devices or regions or anything else. It's because they have not shipped them or shipped the little code that flips the bit that gives you the thing that, by the way, is already sitting there on your PC. These features are all there. They're all there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We can complain that they didn't test the right click taskbar thing and they rushed it to the front, but it's not out yet. So maybe this is part of the,
Yeah, so the right-click taskbar thing was in the release preview build that went out yesterday. I looked. I'm like, oh, so there it is.
That just happened. Okay, so there you go. Yeah. So maybe that's the testing period. We'll give it a week.
Yeah.
Two weeks, whatever it is, and there you go. Broader audience.
Yeah. The thing I want to remind enterprise and education users about this weird clause on these set of features is after this bunch of features, like in the next grouping of moments or the set of features, whatever, you will be able to turn this off by default if you're an enterprise, if you're running enterprise or education, right? It'll be off by default.
So you mean new features off?
New features will be off. Coming new features off. Not this group, though. This group of features, the tabs, tab file explorer, suggested actions, all that is not off by default for some reason. Like, they're not considering that a moment or a separate grouping of features. Yep. It's like part two of Windows 11 22H2 that didn't make it into part one. And those are not going to be off by default.
Yeah, we've talked about this kind of thing a lot. And this is a kind of a new extension of this new way of doing things with Windows. But, you know, we having been around for a long time and liking how things worked in the past, maybe sort of like things like release candidates and RTMs and hard stops and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Windows is this thing that never stops, right? It keeps getting updated. And they've done it with an update now, a feature update. So 22H2 is something that never stops, you know. And so they began rolling it out earlier this month. They added some more features. They're going to add some more features in the spring or whenever they do it again, you know. And they may do it four or five times. We don't even know. But this is the world. There is no, you know, to say that this is the literal list of things that is 22H2 is kind of impossible to say because there'll be more in the future that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, right. That's true.
It's an ongoing rolling release. It's weird. I have a hard time with this, but.
And then but everything after this group is off by default for enterprise and education, but this group is on by default for enterprise and education because no one knows why, because that's it.
So this is not in the notes, but actually I would like to address an issue, which I probably have raised in the past, but one of the side problems with the Windows Insider channels not mapping to specific Windows releases, not all of them, is that it's not clear how you can get out of that. Oh, of course we talked about it, because Leo's computer's stuck. So there has to be this system where people can move between channels or get out of the system entirely. And they've never really addressed this explicitly. Over the weekend, I think, sometime before I left, I looked up their official description of each of the channels. And there was some language to the effect of that sometimes the stars will align. They didn't use that wording, but they literally said something about build numbers aligning. And at that time, you would be able to move between channels, which is something you can't do easily or at all right now.
Yeah.
But the big issue is people who are in the system and want to get out. They want to get off the train when the release comes. Mm-hmm. There is no the release anymore. Like I said, it's just this thing that keeps going and going. So Leo's computer is a great example of this. When do we get out? You know, how do we get out
maybe
of this?
Maybe you don't. I'm just thinking of this now. Like maybe you're never going to be. What if you can't?
All right, here's the problem.
Without repaving your machine, right? Without repaving
your
machine.
Okay, the two problems with that is that's beyond the capabilities of a lot of people. Well,
it is.
And or is something a lot of people wouldn't want to do because they're going to lose things. That might be OEM pre-installs or configurations or whatever it is. They just don't want to go to the effort. If you're on Windows on ARM, you have a very different set of problems because you can't go to, you can't Google download Windows 11 and find an ISO easily, right? I mean, technically they're out there, but they're not official, and do what you're describing. And that's a huge problem. Yeah. You know, when you PC reset, there should be an option. Do you want to go to the latest stable version of Windows 11? Because by default, what you're getting is what's on the PC. So if you do a reset, you'll be right back in the whatever channel build stream you're in. Not that you're back in the Insider program, but you're still repaving. No,
they call this they've given this a name, continuous innovation, I think is what they call it.
Lord.
Releasing these features, right? I know.
They used to call that water torture.
What if continuous innovation means you can never get out of the Insider program? Like Hotel California, you can't leave what you're in.
I call this the one-way dead-end street. I don't know how I got here, but now I can't leave.
Yeah.
You know, the Stephen Wright
job. Yeah.
They can't do that to people. There are millions of people in the Insider program. Not all of them are super technical, you know. That's that's just not the right thing to do. There have been ways to get out. Well, there's a way in the UI. Leo did it. You know,
I know.
He can't get out.
No, I've got other people.
Now
who
I'm
can't
feeling
get out.
Really
he's
bad.
He's the real victim here.
I'm the real victim. I'm feeling so bad. I haven't really paying that much attention to it. Honest.
No, you're not just the only
you're
one.
Play
either.
The victim card. We're gonna get you some compensation.
Okay.
No, yesterday somebody tweeted to me and they said, I don't know why you're acting like Tabbed File Explorer is something new. I've had it for a while. I'm like, are you in release preview? And he comes back, okay, facepalm.
Oops.
Yes, I am.
Oops.
Right? Yeah. And he's like, I didn't know I was, or I didn't think I was.
Well, remember last week we discovered I had Tabbed File Explorer? Didn't even know it. Now, I am right-clicking on my taskbar and all I get is taskbar settings.
Right. That's what everyone's saying. That's the common experience.
Okay.
Yeah, none of those other new features are, to my knowledge, available anywhere on any PC.
Right.
I mean, big deal, right? so you, I mean, everybody knows you can hit Control Alt Delete to get to the task manager. I don't.
Leo, I am going to die on this hill.
I
don't have to. They are bringing it back.
Muscle memory.
The point is, they are bringing it back. Listen, no one knows more. Well, that's not fair to say, but I know every single way there is to launch this program.
Oh, of course, yes.
But I only do it this one way, and it is 1 year later, and I still right-click the taskbar, one stupid option, and then move the mouse over to the, you know.
Yeah.
I do this every day, but almost every day, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's coming back, so that's good.
Right.
And once it does, I guarantee you that 50% of the time, I will select taskbar options by mistake, because those two things are really close to each other.
Yeah.
Alphabetically, you know. We'll see.
Alphabetically.
Well, task manager
we
and
are
taskbar
in
settings.
C week alphabetically. Yeah. Yes.
That's right. Okay. Also phonetically.
Yeah. Yes. See, I told you. Dev channel, anything to report in the dev and beta channels? Anything else? I mean, we're talking about the release channel here, right? That's the difference.
The mainstream.
There's three channels. So actually, I need to go look at this more closely, but there might have been some language in today's, or yesterday's, I guess it was, release preview build, which we don't even have in the notes, related to the end of the rune or whatever. I hope to see this happen.
Oh. Mm.
The slamming of the window, as we call it here.
The opening and closing of the magic window.
Yeah, the magic window.
Yeah. Because now that this is happening, maybe they could tie it to November since it's optional now, but that should be the window from now until November. Make that the window. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have gotten new dev and beta channel builds. So
good.
I erased what Mary Jo had put in there. I apologize. Because Laurent had written an article. But there was some IT-related stuff in the dev channel today.
There was stack orchestrator changes for people who manage Windows updates. And then there were a bunch of smaller things, like some tweaks to the clipboard and voice typing and a couple other things. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Microsoft store update that no one should care about. This little pop-up videos about things. Yeah. There's some widget UI changes coming. There's a start menu change coming that they describe but did not show. But if you've ever...
Badgings. What's that even mean in start menu?
So if you have a pending update and you bring up the start menu, that little power button in the bottom right will have symbols on the various choices, right? Meaning it's time to update. I think what they mean is they'll have a badge on your user profile picture on the left side. And if you click on that, you get the various options. And maybe I don't know what it will say because they didn't show it, but something, you know, maybe every once in a while in Windows, you get a message that says you need to reconnect to your Microsoft account for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it's related to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They never showed an image, so I don't know exactly, but it's going to be in there somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, fairly small, like a lot of fixes, mostly, and small tweaks, nothing big in that.
Right. And then the beta channel, which was last week, got some tweaks to the system tray, which they're screwing around with ahead of this overflow change, right? So if you click on the little caret button that's next to the system tray in the taskbar, you'll get like a little pop-up window, and it looks a certain way right now. It's probably looked this way since Windows 8, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't really changed, but it is changing with this new update we just got at some point, in the coming days. So it's going to look like more like a Windows 11 UI. And so I'm not actually 100% sure, but I would imagine. Yeah, I think it's just, I think that's going through the beta channel as we speak. So it's going to probably work its way down to the, release preview and then eventually to everybody.
Yep.
And they got that Photos app that we talked about a few weeks ago that doesn't have the video editor in it anymore that nobody should have ever used.
Although that's another one that's not there. Like if you read the blog post, it says the photo app, which is coming at the end of October, so maybe next week, won't have the iCloud integration until November. So neither of the two things are there, the revised photo app or the iCloud integration. Neither one's there, even though they're both in the blog post.
And I could imagine those appearing at different times, right? Like the next week or the week after, they'll put it in stable, but it won't have iCloud. And then sometime in November, it will have iCloud.
Yep.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Me too. Same. You know what? This is going to make doing your book really hard going forward, because things aren't going to be like in groups. They're going to just come out all over the place. Like your book will be like a moment in time of when something is there, and then the next week it can be different.
That's always kind of been the case. I mean, obviously when you're doing two feature updates a year, that was kind of problematic. Apps could be updated at any time. That could be kind of a problem. But I literally redesigned the layout of the way the book is structured to kind of accommodate this. There were other reasons, but I wanted to make it much easier, because it's hard. If you only have 20 chapters or whatever, and the really big chapters, it's hard to find all of the places where something might be. But if you have a very large number of small chapters, it's a little bit easier. So the Windows 11 and the way they're doing things caused, it was part of the delay in the book, because I had to really rethink how I presented this information. Okay. But I already have to make changes. The book's not even out yet for most people, and I already have to make changes.
Service packs. You're going to have service packs for your book.
That's the point of any book, right? It can be updated at any time.
It's true. It's true. Apparently.
Yeah. It's good.
I want to talk about the next item, though. Or I actually don't want to talk about it.
I figured. I was curious you never addressed this anywhere.
Yeah. At Ignite, somebody had on their PC, was it Stevie Batiche? Yeah. Somebody had
I'm surprised it wasn't Jerry Nixon. He was the guy that said...
Jerry Nixon. Our fall guy. Bad man. Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, throw on a red shirt.
Don't
worry about the presentation.
We're going to need you to write another blog post.
We put the images in for you.
Now, somebody had on their PC an image that looked like a whole different UI, supposedly, of Windows 11, on their machine. And everybody was talking
to the untrained eye. Most people might not have. Most people would never have noticed.
So here's the question: did Mary Jo notice it?
No. And somebody showed it to me. They're like, "Look at this! It's so different." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm not kidding. Like, what is different here?"
Wait a minute! Don't tell me! Tell me!
Okay,
I have no idea. A floating task. Okay. What's this thing at the top? Is that it?
There are four differences.
Okay. There's a floating taskbar at the top.
Floating taskbar. Now, floating taskbar is it means it's not back to the bottom of the screen. It's floating.
Woo!
Well, hold on a second. Now, why would you do that, right? Why? Like, what? Oh, don't worry about the top.
What is copying Apple?
What is in the taskbar? Is it different? Is it different apps?
You got to go to the bottom. The bottom.
Oh, it is floating. I see what you're saying. There's something underneath it. Apple doesn't do that, does it? Oh, yeah, it does.
It sort of does, right?
Yeah.
So the Apple, the OS, the macOS dock,
floats.
Resizes to accommodate the number of icons that are there.
That's right.
And it floats.
Yes.
It also has animations. You know, mouse over the icons, they kind of resize and so forth.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear, and I don't think there's any reason to deny that Microsoft is very clearly eyeing the Apple aesthetic. Yeah, they want something that appeal to people.
Because good.
Okay, but, pragmatically, I will say, not that this is a reason or a good reason to do something like this. One of the major shifts that's taking over the PC industry this year, that we're moving finally, belatedly, from 16:9 displays to 16:10, and also 3:2 in some cases. That means you have more room in the vertical. So if you're going to lose a couple of pixels down there because you're trying to be cute with the graphics, it doesn't hurt that much.
It's not functional, though, right? It's just aesthetic. Yeah. Okay. I don't like it.
That's right.
Put it back down there.
Okay. So the other differences are at the top. So there are three things up there.
There's this thing.
There's a floating thing in the middle. There is a thing over there on the left, which is the widgets interface, right? And then over on the right is the stuff that is the system tray today.
The Windows 11, it's moved up here. Yeah.
So when Windows 11 originally shipped, there was no widgets, right? So you had the icons were centered in the middle of the taskbar. Then you had the system tray stuff over on the right, and it kind of took the whole thing out of
balance.
This
is Apple-y. Right? This is so that Mac users can be right at home I think so. When they switched to Windows 11.
So at some point, there were widgets, but they were just part of the normal for the middle. So eventually they moved the widgets out to the corner, and that kind of made the taskbar a little more balanced looking. But now they're taking that stuff out of the taskbar, which I think will eventually lead to them letting that thing resize with the number of icons you have, which, again, not functional, but an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
So you get that stuff out of the corners, and it makes the taskbar make a little more sense. I mean, at this point, just call it a dock and let the icons resize on mouse over, whatever. The thing that's really different between this UI, this is just a photo, but between the picture and what happens today on Mac OS, and has always happened since Mac OS 10, the original release, is, and actually dating back to classic Mac is Mac has a system menu that's always on screen. And if you have an app running, that app's menu takes over that menu. So we don't do this in Windows. Menus are associated with the app window in Windows, right? So they're not, it's weird. They're kind of stealing space at the top and the bottom so that all the gains we just made from 16 by 10 will now go away.
Yeah.
Although there's different ways to do things, right? If you use any mobile device, you can maximize apps and the status bar at the top goes away, or maybe it overlays on top of it or whatever. So we can work around that. The problem with the system tray being the upright for a maximized window today is that that's where the Windows buttons are in a Windows window, right? The minimize, maximize, restore, and close button are all up in that corner. So they can't really be under something, and it's just a picture. We don't have any information about how this is actually going to work. Also, this may not be the final design, but I think this is... Here's what I like. I'm doing this again. So here's... I have to give Microsoft a little credit here, because assuming this is true and this is how it's going to evolve. When Microsoft went from Windows 10 to Windows 11 from a UI perspective, lots of complaints, right? It is prettier, but you're losing all this functionality, right? That's the thing I talked about earlier, the simplification. That's what they did. But I think the transition from Windows 11 to this is A, going to be easier. It's a more seamless transition. Like, this is more like Windows 11, and thus I don't think will be a big deal for most people. But also, I kind of hate myself for saying this. It shows that there's some actual forethought happening somewhere at Microsoft about the future and about where this UI is heading. And I did not get that feeling with Windows 11 at all, because with Windows 11, I felt like they just threw out the baby with the bathwater or whatever. When they oversimplified the UI, it was like they forgot that there were all these people using Windows and that they all did things in a certain way. And that really rubbed me the wrong way. We talked about that start menu video. Remember that it was the horrible people and clearly had never used Windows designing the Windows start menu. But when I look at this, I see something a little different, because now we have to just accept that Windows 11 is a thing, right? So Windows 11 is here. And if we're going to go from Windows 11 to that thing, I think it's fine. I mean, we'll see, right? No one's using it yet. We don't know what it's like, but I think it looks good.
That may be Windows 12, right? That might be.
I think that might be how they handle that. Yeah, it might be.
I have to tell you, I'm not exaggerating or pretending here. I did not see what was that different.
I am not exaggerating when I say the second I saw this, I thought Mary Jo was not going to see any difference in this photo. But not to single you out, I don't think most people would have noticed a difference. Now
you will when you use it. I think you would notice it when you use it. Moving the taskbar to the upper right hand corner is a significant.
No, it's not the taskbar. It's the system tray. Think about it from this perspective. Like, what do most people, do you even look at that stuff? The big thing is maybe the date and time is going to be in a different place.
That's the only thing I look at is the date.
I think for most people, that's it. And I'll just say I use the Mac. I mean, not every day, not every week even, but I do use the Mac frequently. And the Mac has, like I said, the top level menu. That's what the time is up on the right, et cetera. And I don't find that transition to be particularly difficult. Mm-hmm. And in the future, I'm going to find it to be really easy, because they're going to be identical. And I do think this is them moving even more toward a Mac-like aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Why not force Apple users to move to a Windows aesthetic?
Yeah,
We're the majority.
Wow. Yeah. So I think that is what we have been doing for many years, actually, right?
And let's keep going. It's a good strategy.
Well, except that Mac has had a lot of good things happening lately with the Apple Silicon chipsets, and they're not most of the Macs that most people would buy are not unreasonably expensive. I think this battle is getting a little more heated than it's been, you know, for maybe ever. I don't know, for some long period of time, but I don't know. The most, I'd have to look this up, but I mean, the Mac market share in the most recent quarter, it was somewhere 11%. It's double digits. So, you know, they were stuck in 3 to 5% for like many, many years when Steve Jobs was around, but that's not really the case anymore. So maybe they're feeling a little pressure to step it up and give people less reason to walk away from Windows, you know, than they might have before.
Or if you're switching to Windows, you'll feel more at home. Or right. They just think it's purtier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd like to think there was some forethought going on here. But yeah, maybe it's just prettier.
We don't know that this is anything but just somebody.
This guy could
be running Stardock or something, right?
Right. Okay. We don't know if it's a real thing or when it's coming or if it's just a mock-up.
Listen, guys, listen.
We don't know.
One of the theories here was like this was a mistake. They didn't mean to show it. Absolutely not. As guileless as I think as Microsoft can be in some cases, this was done on purpose. I think this was done so enthusiasts will see it and have a – we could see the conversation that we're having like today and other people are having on
other blogs. Wow, you think they're pretty cagey, huh?
Not usually, but in this case, I really do think this was done on purpose and that the idea was to get it out and see how people react. And I think most of the reaction has been.
Was this at a session or a keynote? Was this like, how public was this?
It was a Surface event, wasn't it?
Was this at the Surface event?
I think it was part of the Surface event, which was tacked onto the first day of Ignite,
So the thing that happened with Panasonic at 7 in the morning, my time?
Yeah.
So who's going to watch that?
So I didn't notice it either.
No, but like I said, most people won't. It's, you know, from a long distance, especially if it's just kind of in the background or
it's
whatever.
It's quick,
Or it flashes. It's quick. Basics are all the same, you know?
Yeah.
But people like me, people like Tom Warren or people from Windows Central, whatever, they're going to see this for 1 second and be like, oh, my God, that's different.
This was in the, in the demonstration of Microsoft Designer, which is in beta.
Okay.
I mean, right? Isn't that what we're looking at there as design?
Yeah, so here's something that's coming in the future, running on something that's coming in the future.
Right.
Right.
But with the same folded paper wallpaper.
Well, yes. Yes. So we haven't designed the Windows 12 wallpaper yet, I guess, but yeah.
You think this is Windows 12? Is that what you think it is?
Yeah, I do. I think that's how this is going to fall out. Yep. Yeah.
Or maybe a concept, one of many.
You have to do something... You just have, I mean, even
if it has to look different.
Yeah, right? Even if it's pointless, you have to do something so that you can distinguish it.
Right. If you're going to pretend Windows 12 is a big departure from Windows 11, which is what they will pretend, it has to look different, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Or if Windows 12 really is different, looking different is a big part of it.
Look at you being all optimistic.
If a floating taskbar is the differentiator, we've got a problem here.
It's the fresh maker, Mary Jo. I'm ready.
All right.
The Windows 11 UI is already getting tired. Time to move on.
Windows 12 field guide. Time for the Windows 12 field guide.
That's right. That's right.
Let me take a little time out here and talk about our sponsor while Paul and Mary Jo switch heads again, because I don't know what happened there.
I know. I don't either.
Yeah, they're too different for this episode.
I'm not comfortable with it, you know?
I'm gonna contemplate. Paul's happy. And Mary Jo's ranting. I don't get it.
I feel it's like itchy. What is this feeling?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so jealous of your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's all I can say. I'm just so jealous. Mary Jo, do you feel the same way when you look at the food he's eating? You go,
it looks
like,
good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
It does look good.
Yeah. A lot of vegetarian options in Mexico.
Yes, which looks very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh, look, I could eat something there.
Oh, everything. Everything. Oh, no,
this neighborhood is full of vegan and vegetarian restaurants. It's crazy.
Nice. You know, it's a poorer country, so meat is not like in America, like every meal, I got a big bunch of meat in it. In fact, I would eschew the meat often in Mexico.
Right. Some of those taco pitches were vegetarian. I don't know if you caught that. But
nice.
They have a thing they do which is like flattened out beef or something, and it's really
it's arachera. It's a skirt steak.
Yeah, it's dry and terrible, and there's no reason to eat it.
It's wonderful. I love it.
Well,
I eat it every chance I get.
Do you really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. Okay.
It's because it's not laden with fat. They probably don't go to a corn feedlot.
No, that's true. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not. It's perfect. It's really good.
Yeah. It's how cows used to taste. It's what's for dinner. Anyway, I would go all vegetarian happily there because there's such variety in the cooking, the moles and everything. I mean, just amazing. Just amazing. I'm so jealous. And you're in Mexico City, so you don't get a Day of the Dead particularly. Or no, you said that they're touristy now.
They do it now, yeah. And it's revving up everywhere. There's like little skull things all over the place.
Sugar
like,
skulls.
I love this.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the combination of Halloween and Day of the Dead is... might be the biggest.
Might be
bigger than Independence Day. It's crazy here.
Well, we're going to go down to the Zocalo in just a bit and do some more for Windows Weekly. But first, a word from our fine sponsor, Drata. You've heard me talk about Drata before. This is all about compliance, right? If your organization is having a tough time achieving continuous compliance as it quickly grows and scales, I got a solution for you. If manual evidence collecting is slowing your team down, I got an answer. As G2's highest rated cloud compliance software, Drata, D-R-A-T-A, it's like data with an R in there. Drata streamlines your SOC 2, your ISO 27001, your PCI DSS, your GDPR, your HIPAA, your other compliance frameworks, and provides 24-hour continuous control monitoring so you can focus on scaling securely. See, I didn't realize you have to do continuous compliance. I can see how that would be difficult. Not with Drata. With a suite of 75-plus integrations, Drata easily integrates with your existing tech stack. Applications like AWS or Azure or GitHub or Okta or Cloudflare and on and on and on. Countless security professionals from companies like Lemonade. Our very own Notion folks use Drata. Bamboo HR have shared how crucial it has been to have Drata as a trusted partner in the compliance process. Their deep native integrations provide instant visibility into a security program and continuous monitoring to ensure compliance is always met. Drata allows companies to see all their controls, to easily map them to compliance frameworks, so you've got immediate insight into framework overlap. Companies can start building a solid security posture from day one with Drata. Achieve and maintain compliance as your business scales and expand their security assurance efforts using the Drata platform. Drata's automated dynamic policy templates. You're going to love these. They support companies new to compliance and will get rid of hours and hours of manual labor. It just happens automatically. Their integrated security awareness training program. Love this. And automated reminders ensure smooth employee onboarding. And they're the only player in the industry to build on a private database architecture from day one, meaning your data can never be accessed by anyone outside your organization. Every Drata customer gets a team of compliance experts, including a designated customer success manager. So there's always somebody on the other end of the line ready to help you. Plus, they have a team of former auditors. These are people who have done 500 plus audits. They know their stuff, and they're there for support and counsel, too. So you kind of know how this is going to play out. Your success, of course, is their success. With a consistent meeting cadence, they keep you on track. They ensure there are no surprises, no barriers. Plus, your pre-audit calls ensure you're set up for success when those audits begin. Isn't it nice to have a partner like Drata? Drata is personally backed by SVCI, a syndicate of CISO angel investors for some of the world's most influential companies. They knew this is something industry needed. They said, yeah, Drata is the right solution. Say goodbye to manual evidence collection. Say hello to automated compliance. Visit D-R-A-T-A, Drata.com/twit. Drata, bringing automation to compliance at Drata speed. Drata.com/twit. Ask for a demo, you'll get 10% off, too. Drata.com/twit. Thank you, Drata, for supporting Windows Weekly. And the automating compliance across the world. Now, the newly compliant Paul Theriot and the newly prickly.
Let me sell you guys on Microsoft Edge. Let me tell you, it's the best browser there is.
You love it.
Oh, Lordy. Who are you? Where did you do with Paul?
Who is this guy? I know.
You're using Edge? Really, Paul? Really?
Well, I have to, right? So Edge is a part of Windows 11. It's in, I have to write about it for the book. And unfortunately, trying to ignore Edge for years, ever since it started getting... No, I mean, it's been getting terrible, right? So, okay, I got to dive into this. And, man, there is...
You don't like it? Do you like it?
No, you know what? Honestly, it's okay. Like once you get you disable some stuff, it's good. It's a little busy.
Yeah.
It's very Microsoft centric, obviously.
You disable things like the coupons and
the sidebar, the shopping nonsense.
Yeah,
all this stuff. You know, this is not unique to Edge, but Windows does this now. Office does this, frankly. You know, a problem that I've had for a long time. People who move to different computers a lot. Is you have to constantly reconfigure things when you go to a new computer. It doesn't have any sense of remembering whatever settings you have. And that's kind of a problem. So, of course, for the book, I'm using multiple. Just in the process of this little experiment, I've been, you know, having to redo the same configuration changes over and over again. I mean, even back when Edge was okay, you know, when it first came out, the Chromium version, I challenge any normal person to find the location of where you set the default search engine, for example. I mean, it's like crazy how that works. There's no real sense of tracking in this browser, despite the anti-tracking, despite the fact that there's a lot of language about it and settings. So you're going to need extensions for that kind of stuff, which is true of most browsers. You know, if you're coming from Chrome, that's nothing new. But it's a busy, busy browser, and I don't understand. So I really... I mean, we've talked about this a lot, you know, not using it and looking at the pictures of it. I've been like, I don't understand what they're doing. Using it, I'm like, I don't understand what they're doing. So, there's this market of people who are Microsoft people, right? And they use Office, they use Edge, they already pay for Microsoft 365, you know, maybe they buy Surface computers, probably were Windows Phone fans back in the day. And I'm sure they're all loyal using Microsoft Edge, and they're doing fine. You know, they're fine. But coming from Brave, where security and privacy was automatic, and the thing was really lightweight, and the UI got out of the way, and it's been a little bit of a transition. It's kind of it's interesting. Also, just for the purposes of writing about this for the book, I can tell you that there is no such thing as an Edge chapter. Edge is a section. This could be a small book. By itself, it's kind of insane how many topics there are just related to Edge. You know, tabs, collections, security and privacy, media, extensions, web apps, on and on. You know, shopping, which I, you know, can't stand. But, you know, whatever. So Microsoft has their own. I feel like Microsoft is kind of, in the 90s, we would have looked at this as very predatory. Of course, now they're not in a lead, so it doesn't matter as much. But it is like they're trying to replace everything, you know. Mm. That's out there with their own stuff. And
yeah, because that's what they got in trouble for in the 90s is having their own browser.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, if you brought someone to the future from 1998 and said, hey, look, this is what Microsoft's doing now, they would have been like, yeah, of course they are. They're terrible, you know.
Right.
I don't think many people care because I think the lens is focused elsewhere right now on Apple and Amazon and Google and Meta, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't like it, but it's okay. It's working.
I think a lot of what's going on, like we keep talking about this, has to do with the way Microsoft's organized, right? Like organizationally, Bing, Edge, and advertising and MSN all sit together. Mm-hmm. Like this is a one
that's right.
group.
That's exactly right.
So this is why this is happening. It's kind of, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, but also one side reinforcing the other. Like, You could just imagine this, like, hey, we're the WebXT team, and the WebXT team says, you know, how can we get more people to use Microsoft News? Oh, let's build this into the operating system. Let's build it into the browser. Let's build this in. You know, it just, I'm sure this is what's happening. I can't say I'm sure, but it would be
No, you're right. You're 100% right. I do know explicitly that one of the things that Terry Myerson had to deal with when he ran Windows, when they were making Windows 10, was you need to make this product make sense within this company, which is now cloud focused. And that's why we see things like Windows as a service, where Windows is serviced as if it were a cloud service, when in fact it is anything but. And moving that forward to Edge and the MSN, Bing, et cetera, advertising, of course. This was inevitable. I have also been trying to use Edge on my phone and on my iPad, and that has been interesting as well. One of the things you can do on Edge on the desktop is, I use a third party, but for the third party new tab screen, but for the book, of course, I'm not doing that. I'm using what's built into Edge. And you can make that a minimalist experience. Like, you can actually turn off the news and stuff like that, which I like. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do that on mobile unless I'm missing something. Which is, if I'm right, I mean, if someone can, I'm sure everyone will let me know if I'm wrong. Aaron, never shy about that. But if I'm right, and you can't turn off that news feed thing in the new tab screen on Edge Mobile, then, there's another little example of, just a little subtle kind of passive aggressive. We're going to put you in front of our stuff.
So I'm looking. I use Edge on my phone, surprisingly. Okay. And I don't see any new stuff.
You don't? Oh, good. Then maybe I am missing something. I hope I am.
I don't know
maybe
how.
Maybe it's because I'm on an iPhone and iPad. I don't know.
I'm like, what have
I
done?
Okay, well, that's good. That's fine.
Well, if you click the three buttons in the middle, a bunch of things pop up that you can do. But I don't see news there either.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't see a way to.
I don't see it.
I've looked. I have looked.
I wonder how come I don't see it. That's weird. Okay. Anyway. I must have done something. Collections, I see. History, downloads, and favorites. That's all I see.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. What I mean is, if you open a new
tab,
right? You get this, nice picture. You get some icons, and then you scroll up from the bottom, and you get a feed. And I don't know. Maybe I can just turn it off. I don't know. I've not found a way. It's not super important that whatever. But this is not going to be a big focus for the book, but I'm trying to use Edge everywhere. I'm trying to do the thing where you hating it. It's okay. I'd rather not even look at it. It's a little, because you can use Edge for passwords and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
I feel like I've locked what my Edge browser looks like down so much on the desktop that it doesn't look all that different. Like I shut everything off pretty much.
That's right. And you can do And actually I like that they let you do that. That's smart. Yeah. Like I said, for me, it would have been huge if they could have somehow saved the setting and synced it. But they do have cross PC, cross device sync. That's the first option you encounter when you run it the first time. And none of the things I want to turn off are in that list of things you can configure. So,
That's a key thing for me is the syncing in any browser that I use.
But they all do it.
I don't sync mine.
I want my book.
Yeah, I mean, I use so many devices. I have to.
So here's a tip from PC Guy 8088, who's pretty good. Turn off startup boost in MS Edge. Otherwise, Windows preloads a bunch of extensions. Startup boost will speed up your startup if you want those extensions, but will also load stuff you don't want.
Actually, one of the things I don't like about Edge is sort of the opposite of this tip, which is it has things that are designed to save energy and also save system resources. And I would like to turn all of those things off. So one of the things I turn off is like sleeping tabs. I mean, I get it, but I want to go to a tab and have it actually display, not have it be dimmed out and then reload from scratch every time. That's not how I work. So,
So are you using Brave now as your primary?
Yes. Yep. Everywhere.
Brave just announced, which is great, that they automatically block cookie banners, which is great. Yep.
That's good.
I didn't put this in the notes because it's a Mac topic, but DuckDuckGo has their own browser now or in beta, and it's on the Mac. It's coming to Windows this year later in at least a limited beta. One of the things they do in addition to blocking ads is they actually, I use that NextDNS thing to block ads, but there's still like a blank space where the ad was. So this browser will remove the ads and then remove the blank space too, which is kind of cool. That's kind of neat. But anyway, we'll talk about that when it comes to Windows, but soon. I miss Brave already.
I miss Brave already.
I like the way it syncs. I like it's such a different way of doing things. Like I
should give it another try. I use Firefox with uBlock Origin, and it does all that.
Yep.
And it has, but I have a feeling Brave is also
you know, kind of out of the box doing all that stuff. So that's kind of cool. I'm not crazy about the idea of these bat tokens. Are you able to kind of eliminate all that crypto stuff that
yep.
they?
Yeah. Yeah, you can turn it all off. Yeah.
Okay.
Leo, I got to tell you, there are people looking at the penthouse right now.
Stop it. Go away. Do not look at my house.
I've never seen a human in there before.
That's so. Mine. And this is your across the street neighbors.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn it.
The other
Maybe I should come down and make an all cash offer right now.
they would take it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been on the market for 6 months.
Yeah.
Is it too expensive?
That one's expensive. Yeah, it's too expensive for here.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me, do those people look fancy?
No. There's a two-tier floating staircase that goes up to the rooftop deck.
Must have.
I've often, every time I look at it, I think, this is how I would drunkenly die if I lived there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Just trying to navigate
those
stairs.
You got an exit. Exit strategy. Yeah. If we buy it, then you can come over and jump off. So then you get the best of both worlds. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I wouldn't let you do that. I would glass it in or something.
Yeah.
You have the ThinkPad X13.
Yes.
S means so this super?
Snapdragon.
Snapping dragon. So you've got Windows on ARM.
Latest, yeah. This has been a really weird year for laptop reviews. I've had so many devices in my house, and it's really just bogged me down a bunch. But one of the things I do is I move back and forth between different machines at the same time. Not all 12 of them or whatever, but, you know, the newest two or three or whatever. And this one I was particularly interested in because of all the obvious reasons, right? We think this might be the future. What does this thing look like? And I'll just say, just hitting on the positives.
It's a ThinkPad.
Well, just, I mean, of the platform itself. Yeah. It is, by the way, the first Windows on ARM ThinkPad. The software platform that Microsoft creates, right, Windows on ARM, Windows 11 on ARM, has gotten better, right? X64 emulation now. There's also a technology that will allow developers to mix and match ARM and x86 code in the same project. The idea there is that they don't have to do a total rewrite of an app. Right. They can start putting ARM bits into it. Smart. I have no idea if anyone is even using it. I've never seen one report of anyone using that technology, but they've done what they can do, I think, on the software end, right, to make this better. Qualcomm, likewise, has done a reasonable job, although we're hoping for a much bigger advance soon with the Nuvia-based stuff of improving the hardware. Although, as I've seen, and as I've often predicted, if you bulk this thing up enough so that it's powerful enough to run like a Core i5, you're going to give up battery life. And boy, do they give up battery life. Like, so they've... The basics are okay. I just mentioned this mythical Microsoft person. If you're that person and you run Microsoft Edge, which is native on this platform, if you just use Office, which is, you know, half native, half emulated, I would imagine, probably not even half, but some combination. And that's kind of what you do. And you don't run a lot of browser tabs. It's okay. It's in that situation. It's probably like having a kind of a basic Core i5. This particular PC has 16 to 32 gigs of RAM, which I think is telling because it's unnecessary. But on this platform, you kind of really need it because you're going to be running a lot of emulated apps. A lot of storage, but it just falls apart in everyday use. With the stuff I do. So I don't know if I'm, you know, different from the norm or whatever, but I run things like Photoshop Elements, which is not native on ARM. By the way, there is a Photoshop that is if you pay for Creative Cloud. You know, I use Affinity Designer, I use Notion, I use Markdown Pad, I use Brave, you know, and they try to do as good as they can. If it presents itself as a 32-bit operating system, so if there's a 32-bit version of an app you're trying to download, like Brave or Chrome, I think, as well, it will give you that version because that version runs better. And X64 compatibility is slower than X86, but at least it runs. You know, we always talk about that with ARM. Like, at least it runs. Running slow is better than not running. The problem is a lot of tabs, a lot of apps open, a lot of performance problems. Like, it just, it really, really bogs down. And this machine is expensive. These things always are expensive. I could be wrong, but I think the lowest non-sale price for a base unit of this thing, which doesn't have enough RAM, is $1,400. $150 more to get 16 gigs of RAM, I think, would do it. It's a lot of money. And when you're talking $1,000 to $1,500, you have an incredible range of computers that all will perform better, will be more compatible, will run whatever special utilities for printers and scanners and things like that you can't get on ARM.
Will it get better once there's less emulation and more native code? I mean, that's certainly going to happen.
I would say I would have worded that if we get more native.
Oh, you don't think that'll happen?
Microsoft has done a decent job of taking what's in Windows and making more and more of it native to ARM, right? So we've seen that over time. App like OneNote comes up one day and it's available on ARM. By the way, when I was reviewing this laptop, there was no Xbox app on ARM. You couldn't even get it. And that's how you access things like Xbox Cloud Gaming and Xbox PC Game Pass. So that actually just came out recently, so that's available. I think Microsoft might have made a special version only for the Surface Pro X or whatever. But now it is broadly available. So actually you can use that at least. But I think
what
these little compatibility things. Bad.
See, that's six, really so bad. Disappointing.
I want to know. Yeah.
Well, 6-ish hours. I think it was off the top of my head. I think it was 6.5 somewhere in there.
Yep.
You get it, but you have to, if you go to their website, they're talking about 28 hours of battery life, right?
Of course. They all do. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So that's obviously like a video loop kind of a test, local video, you know, screen set on 50% kind of deal. So that's cute. But I actually just use the computer, and this is the kind of battery life I already get from Intel and AMD computers, and sometimes better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, so, you know, this thing is killing itself emulating. Right. So the point is this, maybe this is the future, right? There are no fans in this computer. I saw the same issue you see with, like the recent MacBook Air that's fanless, where you feel a lot of stuff going on. The thing heats up, you can feel it, and it throttles.
Heats up and slows down.
So performance, right. Yeah, which already wasn't great, is now slower.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's better than it's ever been. There's no doubt about it. No, I mean, that's true. And then if that was the end of the sentence, that'd be a nice story. But unfortunately,
still not good enough.
Performance is not.
Yeah, still not good enough.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to stick with my M1 and M2 Max, I think, for the time being.
And that's actually, I should mention that. The final irony, the final kick in the butt here is if you do run Windows on ARM on a Mac, an M1 or M2 Mac, it runs better than it does on a real Windows PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you use the emulators like VirtualBox or Parallels, yeah. In fact, people are saying it runs quite well.
No, it runs great. It runs great.
Yep.
And the reason that's important is because most people aren't doing that to run a Windows machine. They're doing it to run an app.
One app.
You know?
Yeah. Just that app that I need. Yeah.
If that gets it done, great. You know?
I have to say the impetus for me to use Windows has really diminished because of the really high compatibility of games on Linux. I'm able to run all these Windows, so-called Windows-only games, run very well on Linux and emulation. And
I'm not sure that's a mainstream. Well, no, I guess it is. I mean,
well, that's one of the main things people get Windows for is gaming, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. So the other thing that's changed that I think will impact a lot of people is just the availability of, you know, web apps that solve problems that you can run on any platform.
Right.
You know, the big issue with the Mac, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, was the apps weren't there, enough of the apps or whatever. And I don't feel like that's as much of a problem anymore, that there are like really key Windows-only apps out in the world. I don't think that's the case.
No.
I mean, sure. I mean, obviously it could be the case in certain, you know.
It's much less than it was. It used to be, you know, especially line of business software used to be a big issue.
Right, but if you're writing line of business software today, you write it for the web, and then it works everywhere because everyone has iPhones and iPads and Android devices and whatever. You want it to work everywhere. That's the goal, and it makes Windows less necessary, you know, in those situations.
Yeah. Okay, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. On the other hand, Intel has made great progress, and so it may be that I feel like they have.
Have they? Have they? I don't know. No, I mean, I mean, and I say this, I've got.
Like, I think yes. I'm going to say
laptops
yes.
Laptops in for review.
I'm going to say yes, especially with the 13th gen. You know, you're going to see some real battery life improvements. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good asterisk to that one because I feel like the transition to this hybrid core architecture is going to take a couple of generations.
Yeah, 12th gen had issues.
12th gen definitely has issues, and I'm shocked. I don't see more people talking about that, but It's like Microsoft with Windows 11, arguably. They're doing the right thing in the sense that they know they have to make this change. It's going to be hard for a little while and not ideal for some customers for a little while. But it's they have to get through it, you know, and I think they'll end up in a good place. But, you know, we'll see what the market share looks like in a couple of years. I don't know.
I think also Qualcomm's exclusive deals and their kind of dominance is bad for ARM architectures on the PC side, because I don't think Qualcomm does very good chips.
Yeah. No, that right.
I mean, it seems not.
I have nothing to add to that. I mean, I think a lot of people would say the same thing, and there's evidence to support it.
Yeah. So if you I'm had curious, somebody so doing something great, maybe it'd be possible.
Right. But. Next week, ARM Dev Summit. Maybe we'll see some news.
Okay. Some Nuvia. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, generation over generation, I think it's like the 8CX Gen 3, whatever that's in this computer, is actually significantly better. And, you know, with X64 emulation and whatever else, it is better. It's, you know, in the past, some of these upgrades, I'm like, I don't really see anything here. Like, this is better. So if they're able to do this with what used to be a phone architecture, you know, 7 years later, whatever it's been. Right. They're making progress. It's going to be interesting to see if there's a much bigger leap, you know, with the Nuvia based stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Yeah.
If there isn't, there's no future for this platform.
It's kind of a race now, right? Between Intel and ARM architectures. Like, Intel's getting better and they're getting more efficient.
And, but they're not going to be in the places where ARM dominates. They're not going to be in mobile. And one has to wonder if it matters anymore whether Intel does anything. If their only claim to fame is we can run legacy Windows app, you know, Windows stuff on PCs, you've just inherited the smallest, you know, market there is for these types of devices. For personal computing devices.
Mm-hmm. I don't care who solves it, but whoever solves battery life, I'm all in.
They're called Neither Apple. Side.
Nope. And no, other than Apple. Somebody other than Apple needs to step up to the plate.
I hate to say this. I think you would really enjoy an a MacBook Air.
That new MacBook Air.
Hate.
In midnight blue, baby.
Hate.
About 18 hours of battery life.
Guys, I mean, never can use a Mac. I've tried.
It's I don't so understand different. Why. You're just using Notepad. There's plenty of great notepad-like apps on the Mac.
Everything's opposite from what I'm used to, and it's just not good. Right. It's just
you know what? I think I know what it is. You often talk about how you don't notice new UIs, and I think when you go to the Mac, you do notice all the things that are different.
I do.
Yeah, that's
it.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, what am I running? What are all these weird things, like getting bigger and smaller? No, absolutely.
You could turn all that stuff off. I don't want any of
that crap.
No,
guys. Plus it's Apple, so sorry.
I do understand. I understand. I don't like the Mac either. I can't use the Mac. I mean, I'm not going to switch to the Mac. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Never. I like the iPhone, you know, and the plus and minuses, obviously. iPad, great. You know, Mac's like
Let us take a little tiny... wait a minute. Before we do, I'm so excited to hear about Windows 22, H2, Windows 10.
I like that you intuitively understood this was going to take about 10 seconds.
Yeah. So first, may I just say, I called this last week. I said Tuesday would be the day that Microsoft rolled this out, and I was correct.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, ta-da, Windows 10 22H2 is here for the mainstream, and you can get it now. So what do we most want to know? What's in it?
Yep.
What's the feature list? Like, what's in this thing?
What is it?
Yes. Windows 10 22, sorry, they call it a weird thing. Windows 10 2022 update, they don't call it 22H2, delivers a scope set of improvements in the areas of productivity and management. That is all they will say. They won't give us a feature list. Probably because there's almost nothing in it, right?
What are they hiding?
It's so little.
Scope sounds like you're getting a colonoscopy or something, doesn't it? You're getting
scoped. What does that mean in that context?
You're going to be
scoped. It means It means that you're going to get this via an enablement package if you are running the latest version of Windows 10. Like, you know, that means it comes like a cumulative update, really fast update, automatic, like super easy to do the update. All this is doing is changing the support window, right? Like the new support's clock starts ticking as of yesterday for people who download this update. But in terms of new features, Microsoft won't tell us what's in it. I saw somebody in the Discord pointed to Bleeping Computer. They've figured out a couple of the features. You can get important notifications when Focus Assist is on. Restoring functionality to Windows Autopilot deployment scenarios affected by security mitigation for hardware reuse. Like really small esoteric things, but Microsoft so far is not giving us a list of features, which I think is bad.
It's
really bad. People want to know what's in this thing before they download it, right?
So I believe there were at least two builds that went out in the Insider Preview program, yep. And that's where they might have found out about the new features. That notification thing with Focus is no? Okay.
The notification. They didn't tell people what was in it.
Yeah. So Windows 11 22H2 changed Focus Assist to Focus and I can't remember that. It's Do Not Disturb in Focus now.
Yeah.
Similar feature where you can break through with important notifications. I'm sure they're based on the same. I'm sure that's what that is.
Yeah.
It's like a small Windows 11 feature that's, you know.
Yeah.
In Windows. Does 22H2 on 10 have any of the same blocker issues that it does on 11, or is it a different beast entirely?
I looked at the list yesterday. There was only one thing there listed. Some esoteric error message thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's depending on the feature update you're talking about with Windows 10, there have been smaller, long lists of blockers, obviously. I think those lists are going to get smaller and smaller because this one, the last few have been very small updates. So not a lot's changing. It's not a lot you're going to have problems with the compatibility or whatever. So,
right. The thing they're trying to do is they're trying to make Windows 10 look unattractive. So people will say, you know, all the cool stuff's happening on Windows 11. So I should move to Windows 11. I'm not going to tell you what's in Windows 10 updates. I'm not going to make it look fun. They hid the fact that this came out yesterday, right? Like downplaying it.
They don't want people to say, oh, it's getting updated. Yeah.
Except for one thing. Who loves what you just said? Who loves that happening?
IT businesses. Pros, they love this.
Microsoft's biggest customer base is like, yeah, baby, you're not adding anything to Windows 10. That's exactly what we've been asking for.
Yeah.
We're going to stick on that. They see might not have the impact.
It's going to backfire maybe, right? Yeah. Because
right?
You can keep running Windows 10 supported by Microsoft till October 14th, 2025. You still have a lot of life left in this thing, right?
So, Yep. That's fine. You know what? If this thing rides out and doesn't have any major changes, that audience will be ecstatic, and there's nothing
wrong
with that.
Yep. I know. They should just own it and be like, guess what, guys? No new features. And people will be like, yes.
Embrace your inner Luddite. That should be the marketing slogan. You know?
Good.
Yes.
Yep. None of what I didn't want.
Right.
Exactly. And everything I did.
Yeah. Which is nothing.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That all makes good sense. You could see
for the whole communication thing. You can't take a paragraph in a blog post to give us the three features you added.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We don't want you to get all excited. don't get excited. Take a break. Come back. Lots more. Mary Jo interviewed Scott Goo. We'll get the deets. But first, a word from our sponsor, Tanium. Oh, I love these guys. Little disruptors making a big difference in the industry. Tanium was born because basically they said the industry's approach to cybersecurity is fundamentally flawed. IT management and security point tools only offer a small piece of the solution needed to protect your environment. Many of them promise something ridiculous, that we can stop all breaches. No, they can't. They just can't. Making security decisions based on stale data, trying to defend your critical assets from cyber attacks with tools that don't talk to one another, that's no way for an IT team to navigate today's complex and virulent attack surface. It's time for a different approach. Tanium says it's time for a convergence of tools
endpoints and IT operations and security. They've got solutions for government entities, for education, for financial services, retail, healthcare. You could trust their solutions for every workflow that relies on endpoint data. Asset discovery and inventory means you can track down every IT asset you own instantaneously. With risk and compliance management, you can find and fix vulnerabilities at scale, and then you can do it in seconds. They've got very sophisticated threat hunting, which is good because you've got pretty sophisticated adversaries. Hunt for them in real time. Client management means you can automate operations from discovery to management. And of course, if you've got sensitive data, and who doesn't, they've got monitoring for your sensitive data. That means you can index and monitor sensitive data globally throughout your entire network in seconds. Tanium protects organizations where other endpoint management and security providers have failed. With a single platform, Tanium identifies where all your data is across your entire IT estate, patches every device you own in seconds, and implements critical security controls all from a single pane of glass. Just ask Kevin Bush, VP of IT at Ring Power Corp. Here's his quote. He says, quote, Tanium brings visibility to one screen for our whole team. If you don't have that kind of visibility, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. It sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I think he's sleeping better with Tanium. Thank you, Kevin. With real-time data comes real-time impact. If you're ready to unite operations and security teams with a single source of truth and confidently protect your organization from cyber threats, it's time you met Tanium. T-A-N-I-U-M. To learn more, Tanium.com/twit. Please go there. I know you can just go to the front page, but it's how they keep track of whether we're sending people to the site. So if you're going to visit it, please go to Tanium.com/twit. And I think you want to. I think you do. Find out more. Tanium.com/twit. We thank them so much for supporting Windows Weekly, Paul and Mary Jo. Are you getting used to calling Office Microsoft 365? You getting used to that?
Well, don't.
What?
This is actually a classic example of Microsoft communication problems, right?
Wait a minute. Yes. So the last thing we heard at Ignite was not Microsoft Office anymore. It's Microsoft 365.
Right.
Not true?
Here's the thing,
not
Leo.
Really?
Not exactly, right?
Oh, man.
First of all, Office is Microsoft's most venerable brand, really, right? I mean, Office and Windows maybe arrived around the same time, but Windows was not popular till
I think Word was first, actually, wasn't it? Word?
I think it was Excel came for the first for the Mac.
Yeah, Word and Excel for the Mac. It was the first mouse many of us used.
Yeah.
Came with Word in the box.
Microsoft bundled a mouse with Word for Windows. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, look, the short version of this is nothing really has changed. Microsoft has been transitioning toward, Uber brands, Microsoft 365 in this case. But that doesn't mean those sub-brands are going away. And I think the simplest way to think of this is Office is a brand everyone knows. They could rename it if they wanted to, but everyone would still call it Office. Yeah. And it's going to be the legacy stuff, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. It's Office, They're still going to sell an Office standalone version, a perpetual version of Office, right? That doesn't stop. There's still Office 365 SKUs. That doesn't stop. But, I think the most important quote is in a FAQ on Microsoft's website where the question is Office going away? And the answer is no. As part of everything it's like they announced this thing and it sounds like, oh my God, they're changing everything. It's like they've been kind of doing this, When Office Lens became Microsoft Lens, when Microsoft Editor came out after that transition, it wasn't Office Editor, it's Microsoft Editor. I mean, it's just the new stuff is Microsoft.
Yeah.
But it's all commingled, in something that I will always call Office.
Yeah. You know what made this story get very confused? So at Ignite, they said, we're rebranding the unified Office app to Microsoft 365, right?
Yep, that's
when you go to office.com, when you go to that URL, at the top it says, hey, Office is becoming Microsoft 365. No, all they mean is that one app. They don't mean the whole branding, but the way they worded it and the picture that goes with it, I'm like, yeah, this is why everybody got confused, right? Microsoft was just kind of glossing over it and saying they meant that app. They didn't mean all of it.
So, you know what's interesting about what you just said is that Microsoft is commingling Office.com, the Office app for Windows, and the Office mobile app as being the same thing.
Right.
And by the way, maybe they are. Maybe these things are all a web app and they're just created the same way. Mm-hmm. And so to make branding simpler, because it seems like Office.com, you'd want to leave this as Office probably. They'll have a logo that's the same across everywhere. They'll have the same branding across everywhere.
Yep.
But that's just an app, you know? And it's like I just said, it's a new app, right? Mm-hmm. It's not Word, PowerPoint, you know, it's a new app.
Right.
And so it's going to have a Microsoft 365 brand.
I usually, to get to the Microsoft app, I have it on my desktop, but I almost never go through the app. I type office.com into a browser, right? And I asked Jared Spataro, who is the head of this part of Microsoft, the modern work part, and I said, so are you going to take away this URL that I use? Because I have this committed to memory. I type office.com to go to this Office app. And he goes, no, that's going to stick around. Okay, so that's sticking around, right?
What are we talking about?
Right. Yeah, people get very confused.
Office is, it's just too good of a brand, and it's too obvious of a brand, and it's too embedded in everyone's brains.
It is. And I think a lot of people who wrote the stories about this, so you saw this everywhere, like Microsoft's going away from the Office brand, they don't even know there is an Office app. They don't know this thing exists, so they don't know what they were talking about when Microsoft said this is being replaced by this, right?
The alternate reality, Paul, that I've become, I am not blaming those people because Microsoft messaging was so confusing. You'd really have to dig deep to see the reality of it. And you'd really have to have an understanding of what they've been doing for several years now.
You do.
And so I don't blame those folks. In fact, I wrote that in my article. It's not their fault. This is Microsoft miscommunicating something.
Yeah. Surprise. What they were trying to communicate, it was a very complicated story, I feel like, that they were trying to communicate, which was we're at an inflection point where what people thought of as Office is different now. Like, you've got all these new features and functionality, editor, loop, all the stuff that didn't exist in the original Office. So they were trying to make a point like, this is a new thing, even though it's your familiar set of apps, it's got a whole bunch of new capabilities that you might not even know exist if you just use Excel, PowerPoint, and Word. But that's a complicated story and a complicated idea. So I don't think a lot of people grasped that that's what they were trying to say.
Well, thank God we have careers.
Yeah, exactly. And one more thing on Microsoft 365. I wanted to point this out because Xeon and Club Twit reminded me of this today. So on Windows Server 2022, Microsoft kind of drew a line in the sand and said, okay, no more running Microsoft 365 apps on Windows Server starting with Windows Server 2022. And customers flipped out. Like, they were like, wait a minute, I want to do that. I don't want you to stop me from doing that, especially in my on-premises operation. And Microsoft's answer originally was, why don't you just use Azure Virtual Desktop or Windows 365? And customers said, you know what I'm going to use? Google. I don't want that. I don't want that, Microsoft. So they went back and they reconsidered. And this week they said publicly, yes, we've changed our mind and we're going to let you run Windows Microsoft 365 apps on Windows Server. Starting
too late. I'm already using Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. What are they concerned about there is the people like a workstation or something?
Yeah, I don't know why I think Microsoft was trying to cut this off because they're trying to force people to think about apps as cloud apps, right? Like, they're like, if you've got Windows Server, like, why don't you run this virtually? Like, why don't you run these apps virtually using our cloud services instead of trying to run them locally on-premises?
If I wanted to run this in the cloud, I would be running this in the cloud. Yeah. I obviously want an on-prem something. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They just don't want you editing your PowerShell scripts with Word.
Exactly. People get used to it because they could run Microsoft 365 apps on Server 2016, on Server 2019, and then Microsoft's like, we don't really want you to do that anymore. Customers are like, well, too bad. I want to do that, and if you won't let me, I'll go elsewhere. Okay.
If you want on-prem, just use Emacs.
Let them do it. Let them do it, Microsoft.
Well, they are, right?
Just use Emacs.
They are.
Just use Emacs.
Yeah. Would be a great title for an this article. Is
the answer for everything. You can, for there's nothing you questions. Can't do. It's as they say, an operating system with kind of a mediocre text editor built in.
I used to say this in the Sanofsky era. You know, it was be like, why are they doing this? And I'd be like, F you, that's why. You have another question? Like, yeah, how come the start button's gone? F you, that's why. You got another question? Like, that was always the, you know, that was just the whole conversation.
Is that what, yeah. Is that how Scott Goo treated you, Mary Jo Foley? We now go to executive... contributing editor, senior contributing editor at ZDNet, Mary Jo Foley, for her interview with Scott Goo.
Okay, I've got to give you the backstory because it's kind of hilarious here of how this happened. Yeah. So it's the last day of Ignite, and Microsoft PR calls me up, and they're like, hey, want to interview Scott Goo? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been asking you for an interview with him for years, but sure, I would love to.
Yeah, we saw your name on a list somebody threw away.
Right. And so I'm like, when? Like, how long do I have to wait? They're like, how about in 10 minutes? I'm like, today? Like, now? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be a virtual interview and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, let me hang up with you and write a few questions down so I could, like, have something prepared. And so they called me on Teams. We did an interview. I was very disoriented because he was wearing a white button-down dress shirt when he came on the call. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this even Scott Goo? Where's the red shirt? I don't know. Like, I'm not able to do this, really. But he said he was going to a customer.
Not on stage.
No, he said, yeah. I'm going to a customer meeting right after you. That's why I'm wearing this. I'm so sorry. He's such a great guy. I love talking to him. He's just like a real nice human being. But yeah, so we talked about like what he thought were some of the highlights from Ignite. So that was good. It's always interesting to hear what the executives think are the highlights versus what we end up writing, you know? And he talked a lot about some things predictable. Like he oversees all of data at Microsoft, AI, like a lot of different teams. He oversees the Power Platform team now and Dynamics even. So he has a big purview. Like he has a lot of things going on. So I asked him about a little bit about Cosmos DB getting PostgreSQL. He was very excited about that. He talked a lot about Power Platform. He talked a lot about Dynamics and how Dynamics and Azure are kind of both sharing a lot of common technologies and are more tightly integrated down the stack now. So that was kind of interesting. What else did we talk about? We talked about GitHub a little bit, and he was very up on like the Microsoft partnership with OpenAI, which I think came out a lot at Ignite. He was just like, we are really tightly partnering with them. We have an OpenAI service now, and that's drawing on models that we're building with them. We're building supercomputers for them to run their models on. So it was really good to hear all his thoughts about working closely with OpenAI. Yeah, so it was very interesting. I had 20 minutes. I was just like packing questions in there, but he was great. And if you care about data and Dynamics and Power Platform and databases, you probably want to go read. It's a fairly short interview I did with them just about what is top of mind for him. I tried to get him to talk about SQL Server 2022 because I think that's coming out in November. And he gave me a little on it, but he was like kind of holding back so that he can have a big announcement, I'm sure, about that.
And not once did he say, F you, that's why.
He did not.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He's a good guy.
That's not a Scott Goo guy.
No,
yeah, that's
no,
not his way.
Yeah. It's much more Sanofsky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's a really, yeah, very, it was great to get him. I was like, yeah, I've been dying to talk to him. And it was like,
it's a good interview. Like, and you got to
do this quick.
You got a lot of time with him. I mean, relatively,
yeah.
I guess.
20 minutes is, yeah, that is a lot of time, actually. Yeah. So I was really happy they gave me access to him. And it was, I just was like, wait, we're doing this in 10 minutes? Okay, let me hang up. I got to go write some questions.
Did he offer you some Oreo thin cookies?
He did not.
Oh, I love, no. And am I understanding why you just asked that question? Is this the Microsoft partnership with Oreo?
Yes.
Yes. It did not come up.
See, I was offered that interview and I declined it.
Okay.
With the brown M&M, is that who you were going to talk to?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, with the thin Oreo.
It has to do with the Weight Teams, Watchers, right?
And yeah. Isn't it an emoji in Teams or something?
I didn't look at it too closely, I got to be honest.
Well, I did the work. Why Microsoft 365 is teaming up with Oreo Thins to give you a break.
They literally reached out to me. And I was
Did they really?
Interesting.
No,
yeah,
did they?
Thank you. That's,
enter the thin vite. A 15-minute snack
National
break.
National Cookie Month or something like that. And
is that why?
I tried not to look too much at this.
So during National Cookie Month,
that emoticon,
Microsoft 365 and Oreo Thins are teaming up to create the Thinvite, a 15-minute snack break delivered straight to your calendar and to your door. Yum.
What is an Oreo? An Oreo is like two pieces of cardboard with some lard.
With lard in between. Exactly. That's it. So if you type Oreo or Oreo Yum in your team's chat emoji search box, you'll find.
I will not.
Come on. Come on, Paul. You'll find these lovely Oreos in there, these emojis.
I will not eat it on a train. I will not eat it on a plane.
Oh, let's go
so
to
doesn't
the...
this make you wonder, though? Like, are we going to see, like, brand, you know, corporate branded emojis showing up everywhere now?
I will say this does make me wonder.
Is this a profit deal? What's the story?
I would guess, right? Or the Nabisco is a partner of Microsoft, which I think they are.
Oreo Thins, the ultimate cookie for adults, and Microsoft 365, a leader in modern work, have obviously teamed up because...
So, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, you could put a 15-minute hold on your calendar from 2 to 2:15 p.m. Eastern, and I guess snacks will arrive at your door. Oh, they're sold out. Oh...
But well, I can tell you this. I don't have to walk about 12 feet before I can find a guy selling cookies on the street here, so that won't be a problem.
And they're probably good cookies, right? They're homemade, delicious.
Crazy, the snack stuff they have here.
Do they have cookies? Really? Street vendors selling cookies?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, they sell cheese balls. They sell popcorn. They sell candy of every stripe. Wow. And then the question at the end is always, would you like salsa on that? And the answer is always, no. What are you talking about?
Of course I would.
So I could run out the door and get some cheese balls.
Yeah.
With salsa.
With salsa on it. Yes.
Wow.
That's true. Hmm. This is not something I'm making up. This is true.
Wow. That's another reason to move there. Are the people still in the penthouse across the street?
No. They checked out the roof deck and then they went down.
Oh, man. I want. You said 400,000?
480.
You can't get a shed here for that price.
No, you can't.
I know. It is on the sun side of the building.
That's fine. What's wrong with that?
Get automated shades.
You're on the shade side of your building, I take it.
Yeah.
Did you want that?
Honestly, when we had no conception of what the size were when we did this, but
I guess the sun beats in that window afternoon.
I would prefer to be, I prefer to be on the side, yes.
We were on the sun side at the Brick House, and on the afternoon sun came so strongly into the studio, we actually basically...
Big windows, and
we had to create three-layer blinds.
Blinds here were job one. The sun is, it's bright here. It's... we're closer to
You're mostly, you're practically on the equator or something.
Yeah.
Dark mode finally comes to Word for the Web. Yeah, and senior contributing editor Mary Jo Foley has the story. No?
That is not me.
Actually,
I'd rather do
this
Oreo
story. Is barely, yeah. This is barely worth mentioning. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because this is a feature that's been in the desktop versions of Office for years and years, and they improved it, I don't know, last year or something. I don't understand why something like this took so long. I don't understand why they released the same feature for the same app on different platforms at different times. I don't get that. But if you look at the screenshot I have of the dark mode thing for Word for the Web, what you'll see is what I want in Word for Windows, which is that simplified ribbon thing that they promised years ago. We're bringing to the desktop. And as of today, there's only one desktop Office app that has this interface, and that is Outlook, which is the one Office app I refuse to use. But I use Word every single day. I'd love to have this UI.
Yeah.
I'd love to have it. And
it's coming soon, right? Isn't it? Isn't it part of Monarch, the redesign of Office
Monarch, this is
Outlook,
right?
Sorry, Monarch is Outlook. Sorry, you're right.
No, it's okay.
You're right.
Yeah, I'd give anything to. I want UI. I have dark mode. I want this UI.
It looks good.
Really,
but this is web only right now. Yeah.
Yeah. web only.
But you know what's also weird about this story? What usually Office on the Web gets a feature before the desktop.
That's right.
Right?
Like, that's exactly right.
That's why.
Yep.
Why is it coming after?
Because it's easy to do it in a browser.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of affordances for making that happen.
Yeah, it's trivial. I don't know what they're doing.
It's trivial, man. It's easy. By the way, is Contoso the equivalent of Vandalay Industries for Microsoft? Is that their like?
Yeah. It's okay. Their go-to fake brand.
Fake company. Contoso. Yeah. New product, go-to-market strategy.
I mean, I miss, you know, Volcano Coffee, really. That was another good one from the past. But Contoso, long-lived. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody should do a Instagram pop-up of fake corporate entities.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
You could visit.
I've got a Contoso t-shirt from a show a few years ago.
What's the company in Resident Evil? That's the one. I want to work for that company. What are they called? Bio? No. They have an awesome kind of nuclear logo with the red colors.
I'm an Aperture Science fan myself.
There you go. That's even better, actually.
Yep. Aperture Science.
Umbrella Corp, what we must Anthony says.
Because. Umbrella Corp, thank you. Yes.
Umbrella Corp. Anthony knows all. He is so on top of culture, modern culture.
Nice. Umbrella Corp is Microsoft 365, right?
Yeah.
To explain that branding.
So I guess it's time to mention the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Dark mode for Word on the Web.
Microsoft is actually every company now laying off people.
Yeah.
You know, last month it was all the CEOs saying, hey, tough times are coming, time to tighten your belt. And it's, you know what? Now we know when they start saying that, start working on your resume.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Alex Gumbel, who we know, texted me yesterday, I think it was, to say, oh, my God, they got Alex Kipman. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And
they did not lay off Kipman. He left on his own months ago.
Months.
He was helped out the door, we believe.
helped out the door.
Okay. Yeah, he was shown the door.
Mr. Kipman. Please come down to us.
But this group of layoffs, under 1,000. So, you know, Microsoft has close to 200,000 people now. So,
plus it's half of 1%. It's not
Yeah. The one team that I saw that got cut, this is kind of interesting to me because I wrote about this a while ago, was something called Studio Alpha at Microsoft, which is the war game simulation team at Microsoft. I don't know where they sat in the organization, but it was about simulation and modeling for gaming, mostly for defense, I believe.
Real war, not to shall we play a game. Real, this is Whopper. Yeah.
Right. War gaming simulations, also military and commercial, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I wonder if it had anything to do with the problems they've been having with HoloLens and the army. I'm like, maybe they're just like, you know what? We're having trouble over here. Maybe we should take a pause. I don't know. Like,
because of the army's, is what they said, 80% of the soldiers who wore HoloLens in their tests were getting sick.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, it felt like a lot of the other layoffs of people I saw, like talking on Twitter or LinkedIn, they were kind of random, like different departments, different groups, different parts of the company. It wasn't like before where they said, you know, Windows and Office are going to have some cuts because it's time to do some belt tightening here. Also, next week is earnings report for Microsoft Q2 fiscal 23. So, you know, when you want to show your investors and shareholders that you're being serious about doing more with less, you say, hey, look, we're even tightening our belt, not just you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
we're all doing it.
We're all doing it. You're doing it. We're doing it. Everybody's doing it. It's a thing.
Yeah. There's just been a steady stream of layoff announcements from companies.
Yeah. I hope people who got cut can find places in the company, although I've seen people say it's hard right now because, you know, things are tighter than they've been. So,
it's depressing.
It is. It's not fun to talk about layoffs or report about layoffs.
This is the year we're in, unfortunately. Yeah.
This is the year we're going to be in. This is just the beginning, the tail end of 2022. If the recession really hits, 2023 is going to be not so good. It's funny because in COVID, the tech companies all soared. They were hugely profitable, made a lot of money. I don't know if this is the chickens coming home to roost or if it's a separate, unrelated issue, but this is one contraction where the tech companies are not going to benefit. So you will have, so next week we'll have the earnings. We'll have our earnings learnings episode. Day after the dust clears. Do you have any thoughts about what we should be looking for in the earnings call?
Commercial cloud. I bet it's Microsoft cloud's going to be a killer. They're going to still do great. Although maybe not as well, right? Like I think they're kind of cautioning it could be down a bit. PC mark, PC sales have been down. That's not usually good for Windows, right? For a quarter. We'll see.
Yeah, I think this could be negative, you know? We'll see.
Actually, it'll be a tough quarter.
We just saw a report that there is massive churn at Amazon. Like, people don't stay more than a few months. It's costing Amazon $8 billion a year. So maybe you Microsoft folks want to go across the street and just
By the way, they often do, and that's where they go. I mean, Amazon is like the halfway house between a Microsoft employer and their future career. No, that's been a that's been true for a long time.
Well, a lot of people have been going to Meta, too, but Meta's having layoffs.
I wouldn't go to Meta right now. Not in a growth cycle here. Cheer us up, Paul Thurrott, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky Paul Thurrott, with our Xbox segment.
Yeah, a couple of Xbox news bits. First is that it's, you know, we are literally in the second half of October, so we have the next set of games coming to Xbox Game Pass. The biggest one is the is A Plague Tale: Requiem, right? Which is kind of a great game. And then a bunch of stuff I've never heard of, frankly. Amnesia Collection, Amnesia Rebirth, Phantom Abyss, Soma, tell me if you've heard of any of these. So Frog Detective, so whatever. But that's what the rest of the month.
That's the game I want to play, Frog Detective.
But in bigger news, we're getting an Xbox system update today. And this one's actually kind of a big deal. There's some stuff we had heard about in the past and then some stuff we hadn't. So, for example, if you're familiar with the CEC controls over HDMI, you can finally control your TV volume through your Xbox now, which is a feature that's in every consumer electronics device on Earth. But anyway, that's in there. Mute your startup audio. That was something we talked about a couple weeks ago. They were testing that in the Insider program. And that way, when you reboot your computer or turn it on from scratch, it doesn't do the, you know, that kind of swirling, triumphant movie style intro that normally happens. They're changing the names of the power modes. This is actually kind of a big deal because there's always been this kind of confusion over like energy. I think it was called Energy Saver, and the other one was Standby. It was Sleep and Energy Saver. So now they're calling them Standby and Shutdown Energy Saving, which just to make it a little more obvious, because I think a lot of people didn't quite understand how those things work. And then it's a bunch of smaller things, like a firmware update for your controller, and the mobile Xbox app is getting updated with better video editing controls, et cetera, et cetera. So this is kind of a big one, though, I would say, for this year, as far as the number of features for the console. So that's something you will you'll be prompted, or you'll just get when you reboot. But it's out today. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
I always promise it's going to be short. Although I cheated because my tips and picks are all Xbox.
Well, that's something to stay tuned for. The back of the book coming up just around the corner. First, a word from our sponsor, Lenovo, orchestrated by the experts at CDW. The helpful people at CDW understand that as the world changes, your organization needs to adapt quickly to be successful. So how can CDW keep your business ahead of the curve? With those beautiful Lenovo ThinkPads, that's how these powerful devices deliver the business class performance you're looking for, thanks to Windows 10 and the Intel Evo platform.
With your remote teams working across the country and around the world, collaboration just isn't a problem anymore because Lenovo ThinkPads keep your organization productive and connected from anywhere. Plus, CDW knows your workforce has different work styles, needs flexibility, right? That's why Lenovo ThinkPads are equipped with responsive tools and built-in features that let your team work seamlessly across their favorite tools. Now, think about that for a second. Oh, and let's not forget about security. While you're thinking, these high-performance machines protect at the highest level with built-in hardware to guard against modern threats without slowing your team down. When you need to get more out of your technology, Lenovo makes seamless productivity possible. CDW makes it powerful. Learn more at cdw.com/Lenovo client. That's cdw.com/Lenovo client. We thank CDW and Lenovo for supporting Windows Weekly. Now with Mr. Paul Thurrott and his tip of the week.
A month or two ago, I don't remember, there were these rumors of a white Elite controller, which I thought looked terrible. I still think looks terrible. And then it materialized as something called the Elite Series 2 controller. So this is slightly less customizable, but it gives you some of the best features of the high-end Elite controller. Now you can customize this controller in the Microsoft, the Xbox Design Lab. So this is something that's been around for 5 or 6 years, I think. It is, to date, has allowed you to customize a normal controller, like a typical Xbox wireless controller. But now you can customize an Elite Series 2 controller, which is why that white thing sort of starts to make sense, because now you can have that body part of it be whatever your color you want. You can customize, you know, the bumpers, the thumbsticks, everything else as well. So you get, like I said, a bunch of the benefits of the high-end Elite controller, but now you can customize the colors and stuff. So $150, which is, you know, for that controller, too horrible. And then the app pick of the week is, I'm not sure if it's the Xbox app or the PC Game Pass service, but I am, like I said earlier, in the middle of reviewing a ton of laptops this year. One of them is an HP Envy 16 that I've actually written most of the review already. I'm going to hold on to that for a couple of days just so it's not too close to another review I wrote. But one of the things I was doing while testing it was this thing comes with a kind of a, what I would call a mid-level NVIDIA graphics card. And it's not sold as a gaming PC, but it does actually come with like Omen gaming utilities in it. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this is a decent, you know, gaming computer for like a, you know, casual, more casual games. But I loaded this thing up with Asphalt 9, with Flight Simulator, and with Halo Infinite. And this thing is an awesome gaming PC. So those games, I have access to all those games through PC Game Pass. Well, I have actually Game Pass Ultimate, which is console plus PC. But if you pay $9.99 a month for the PC Game Pass subscription, and you have an Xbox controller, and you have a decent computer, this is actually kind of this is an interesting thing. I mean, I've been an Xbox gamer since the 360 full time, so since 2005. And honestly, the graphics that are available on this particular computer are better than what I see on my Xbox console at home.
Really?
Like it's
that because of the NVIDIA card, or?
Yeah, and it's, you know, 4K display. I mean, honestly, part of it might be it's a 16-inch screen, so 4K display at 60 kind of helps too, but it's gorgeous. And in Flight Simulator, I bumped everything up to high. It's 4K HDR, all that stuff. It's gorgeous. Like, these games are gorgeous and they run great.
How much bandwidth do you think is like the,
well, they're local. So I'm reasonable. Doing, this is local game, right? So this is I'm not playing.
Oh, it's local. So, oh, you're playing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. These you're playing it on the these Elite?
I'm playing them on the PC. Like, you download the games to the PC. So in other words, you subscribe to PC Game Pass.
Oh, that's incredible.
You download the games.
So this is a laptop that can play Flight Sim at max in 4K.
Yep.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous. You'll see it in the shots when I finally put this up, but I tested flying over Cairo, where you go over the pyramid and the that area, and then you fly up at the Nile River, which is incredible, and you go past the tower in Cairo, and it's just, it's gorgeous. Like, it's gorgeous. And especially, you know, HDR display, 4K, you know, powerful enough. This particular machine is a Core i9 as well, which is kind of interesting.
Does it get pretty hot when you're playing?
Yeah, sure it does.
Okay.
But
it's not a miracle. Okay, I get
it. Yeah. No, the physics still exists. But yeah, I know. And the fan cranks a little
but
bit.
These HPs are so thin. Yeah. These Spectres are really thin and light. This is an ultrabook.
Yep. So yeah, they have nice frontals. The fans are getting more thinner blades. There's way more airflow going on. But the point of this is, you know, with a controller and the Xbox app, this is doing a really good job of emulating the Xbox console experience. And I'm not switching platforms or anything, but I went into this thinking, well, I'll do this for the review, you know, whatever. But honestly, this is kind of neat because I don't travel with an Xbox console, you know, but I do travel with this thing. And this is like I would come on a 2-week trip like I am now in Mexico and never, you know, look at a video game. But it's like, no, if I have some downtime, it's like, this is a possibility.
Well, you could play on the airplane, too, because we're not streaming here. This is.
That would be an interesting. I should try that on the way home, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I will.
So that's anyway, you know, that's surprising. I really thought you were talking about streaming. This is local.
I did streaming with that little Snapdragon thing.
Yeah, I did see that, and that's why I was confused. I saw Call of Duty,
and that's in your garbage. And that's garbage partially because my connection here is garbage. Yeah. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, to get that service, you have to pay $14.99 a month for the ultimate version. Right.
Right.
This is just, you know, if you're just on PC and this is what you want, you should look at the collection of games you get. With the cost of it. It's not as big as what you get on the console for sure. But a lot of, especially the Microsoft first party titles, which used to be console exclusives, you know, Flight Simulator, the Gears of War stuff. Well, Gears of War was on PC actually. The, you know, Halo, the newest Halo, the Asphalt game, et cetera. Like these are really good games and they look fantastic. It's a good deal. It's an interesting alternative, to consider instead of, you know, buying some gigantic honking gaming PC and then you know, paying for the games.
This is the $10 a month plan, right? This is not
That's right. Yep. That's right.
That's great.
Something to consider. Something.
Yeah. And you have to have it's best with an Xbox controller. I mean, you don't have to have one.
Well, the truth is some games probably require it. A lot of games you can use the keyboard, and I could be wrong about that because actually the three games I played, I think you can play. I didn't, but I think you could play with the keyboard, the keyboard and the mouse if you wanted to. And a lot of PC guys would want that. But I'm looking for something to kind of emulate the console experience, and it's surprisingly good.
When they announced that, there were, 100 games? There's more than 100 on it now, right?
Well, it's not. See, that's 100 on the console side. That's not the case on the PC side. Yeah, it's not that many. I'm not actually sure what the total numbers on the PC. It's probably closer to, you know, the 50 range, something like that. But it's not like the Amazon App Store for Android, which is a bunch of garbage. Like the games are really good. Like it's a high quality collection of games.
And how big is it? There's still giant downloads, right? I mean,
yeah. I should actually let me see if I can bring it. They are big. But you know what? I downloaded them on the connection here, and it's only 100 megabits here. And I guess I can't really see how big they are.
So this is like Steam, basically, except you get unlimited play on a certain set of games. You'd have to buy the games for $10 a month.
You know, Steam, you buy the games, right?
Right.
On this, you're paying a subscription and getting access to the games.
Right.
So I can't find that. I'm trying to find the size. Yeah, Halo Infinite is 67 gigabytes. Flight Sim's probably going to be the big one. Flight Sim could get a much, much bigger than what it is now because I haven't downloaded a bunch of the extra stuff, but it's 123 gigabytes.
So, okay. So you make sure you get a big hard drive.
You're not going to, you know, if you have a 128 gig SSD,
you're not
going to
be doing that. No.
Yeah.
And what they say you need at least an NVIDIA GTX 1050 or a Radeon
or
RX 560. But what do you got? What do you have in there? Do you know?
Yeah. What do I have? Right. I should know that off the top of my head. Let me look. It is.
It's impressive to be able to play Flight Sim at full quality 4K. On a laptop.
Impressive if I could find this thing that you asked me for. Let me just look at my review. I'm sorry. Please hold.
And how much was the... Well, I'm asking you all the questions.
It's not that expensive. So, yeah, no, this is in the low thousands. So it's $1,200 to $1,400 probably.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Range.
Let me just find this. Right.
So we've got a new champion for our LAN party.
No, it's just, you know, it's a thought. It is an NVIDIA RTX 3060.
3060 is pretty good. Okay. That's decent.
6 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, dedicated to graphics.
Well, we'll look for your review. Cost. You'll put it out next week, you think?
Yeah, either late this week or next week. It's
is this this isn't the Dragonfly?
No, this is an Envy.
Envy. Okay.
Actually, the version I have is 1700. Sorry, the with the OLED display and HDR and all that stuff.
But it is an X360. Mm-hmm. Those are so pretty.
RTX 360. Yeah. 3060. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very pretty. No, no, I was talking about the Envy itself. It's the X360.
The machine. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. We got the whole review out of him.
Yeah. Well, you got the whole that part of the review anyway.
The game part.
Yeah.
The important part.
I was just surprised by how good it is.
That's really interesting. It's good to know. There's so much focus on stream gaming, you know, now. And I never think of a laptop as a decent gaming platform. So that's good to know. Yeah. Enterprise pick of the week time with Mary Jo Foley.
Yep, I got two enterprise picks this week, and they're both things from Ignite that were kind of left over that I should have written more about but didn't get to. So the first one is Microsoft announced something they're calling the Windows 365 app. There's a preview of this app available right now if you're a Windows 11 user in the Microsoft Store. This is one of the things that Microsoft announced would be coming back in April. I don't know if you all remember, there was a Panos Panay event where they talked about coming integrations between Windows 11 and the cloud PC stuff, Windows 365. And so this is the first deliverable of the four things that he said would be coming. So there's this app. It's an app. You can pin it to your taskbar or you can put it in your start menu or both. And it just makes accessing your Windows 365 instance much more seamless. And it feels like it's just another PC that you own. You can go inside the app and do things like restart, reset your PC. And Microsoft says at some point, quote, soon, this app will ship as part of Windows 11. So you won't even have to download it once it goes a little further along the development.
Damn, to add to the book. God damn it.
Yeah. Another thing.
So this isn't just for enterprises. This is consumers might use this too.
Well, it's for enterprises.
It is.
No, this is really for enterprises. Yeah, yeah. So far, Windows 365 is really for business customers, not for consumers.
Okay. But so you can leave it out of the book, Paul. See?
You can guess at some point it will become more available to consumers as well, but we don't know when that'll happen. But right now, if you're a business user and you have cloud PC or you're interested in trying it out, you might want to try this app out. It's in preview, like I said, but makes the whole integration experience much more seamless and easy for people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. And that was your enterprise pick of the week. How about number two enterprise pick of the week?
So I was going to make this one of the picks last week, but this is so complicated, I couldn't understand it enough to explain it, and I still barely can. So I started out by saying, if you thought the Microsoft 365 Office thing was confusing, the Intune team says, hold my beer, because watch this. Even more confusing, right? So it sounds simple. They said, we're going to replace the Microsoft Endpoint Manager name with Intune. Okay, that seems straightforward enough, right? For a while, you had Intune. Then they started using Microsoft Endpoint Manager. Now we're going back to only using Intune, except if you're talking about Configuration Manager. That's going to stay Configuration Manager, and that's going to be the on-premises PC management and mobile management brand. So they're not really taking away all of the things that were under the MEM brand and putting them under Intune. There's still going to be some things that are not branded Intune. They also announced at Ignite that there's going to be some premium add-ons coming for Intune, and there's going to be a whole new plan coming in March 2023 that pulls together a bunch of different services that you can use with Intune. So there's going to be a remote help, tunnel for mobile app management, endpoint privilege management, advanced endpoint analytics, and more. They didn't give any information about like how much this is going to cost or how it's going to be accessible to people who already have Intune. They just say if you have E3 or E5 plans, that it should somehow, at least some of these features should somehow be available to you. So I think you got to wait for March 2023 to figure this whole picture out. But yeah, the all up thing to know is Intune is becoming more of an Uber brand at Microsoft, and Configuration Manager is still not going away if you're somebody who uses that on-prem. That's my best attempt at explaining this.
Well, if you're going to hold my beer, you might as well hold a delicious Mary Jo Foley beer pick of the week.
Yes, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Maine beer. They're very well known for two beers, lunch and dinner, both IPAs.
They don't go for long, elaborate names. No.
They like short names.
Yeah.
And the new beer they've got out is called Fall. Maine beer Fall.
Because you will after you drink it. Yes.
No, actually, it's. I had this last night and I was a little afraid of it. Very dark in color. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a big one because a lot of their beers are very big, high alcohol. But this is only 5.6.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Guinness, right? It's like a dark beer, but very light, easy to drink. They make it with Ethiopian cold brew coffee. So if you like a coffee stout, you will like this beer a lot. It has all the chocolatey notes, but also some fruity notes, too. I was surprised how light it was in terms of just easy to drink, easy to digest, going down easy. Don't be afraid of the dark colored beers. They're usually lighter and easier on you than the IPAs, for sure.
Isn't that funny? You wouldn't think so, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a nice head, too. Really nice head.
With Guinness, right? Remember, everyone thinks Guinness is like heavy and calorie full. Actually, it's kind of a light beer.
Yeah.
This beer is very similar. Yeah. If you see it, Maine Beer Fall. Very nice. Nice, easy drinker.
Have a pint. Fall is coming. I bet it's almost there where you guys are.
It is here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. What a great show. Episode 799 is in the books. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, you rock. Paul still doing our Hands on Windows show. Mm-hmm. Been doing some really good ones of late. You may be saying, well, wait a minute, where is Hands on Windows? Well, let me tell you, it's hidden away. It's a secret for available only for club members. Just like the Discord, ad-free versions of all of our shows. There's Hands on Macintosh with Micah Sargent. Paul does Hands on Windows, the Untitled Linux show with Jonathan Bennett. The Giz Fizz with Dick DiBartolo, Stacey's Book Club. We use the club to finance the portion of our operations that advertisers don't cover, which is increasing all the time. But also because we have that revenue coming from the club, we can do stuff in the club. It's a great way to launch new shows like Hands on Windows. So if you're not a club member, go to twit.tv/club. We welcome individual members for $7 a month. There's a yearly plan. I think it's, what is it, 12 times? It's the same. It's $84 a year, but you only get one charge in your card. And there's also an enterprise plan. We just got a new enterprise subscriber, so thank you for that. Thank all of you in our club, twit.tv/club. Now, for those of you who listen to the show with ads in it, there are a lot of ways you can do that. You, of course, can watch. Anybody can watch the live stream, which is every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, live.twit.tv. If you're watching live, chat live in the IRC or in the Club Twit Discord. Of course, Discord's always fun. Lots of animated GIFs and things. After the fact, ad-supported versions on the website, twit.tv/ww. There is a YouTube channel with even more ads. Thanks to you, thanks to YouTube, unless you're a premium member, then there's just our ads. And probably the best way to get it really is to subscribe. Now, club members have a special feed they can subscribe to. The rest of you can just go to twit.tv/ww. You'll see the RSS feed there, or search for Windows Weekly in your podcast clients directory and subscribe. That way you'll get it automatically the minute we're done putting it all together, putting in the beginning and the end and all of that stuff. And if your podcast app allows for reviews, please leave us a 5-star review. Let the world know about these two fabulous hosts. Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com. Field Guide to Windows 11 coming soon at leanpub.com. Field Guide to Windows 10 there right now. Mary Jo Foley at ZDNet. Her blog is all about Microsoft.com. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Go out and enjoy the beautiful fall foliage. And a little fall beer from the Maine Beer Company. And then Tuesday, you're going to be typing because of the earnings call. And Wednesday, we'll have our annual, quarterly, earnings learnings episode. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy Mexico City, Paul.
You, sir?
Very jealous.
I know, but I will.
You're going out to dinner next, right?
Yeah, we're going to head down to the Centro area so our friends can see the, you know, Buenos Aires.
And then Sirachi's there looking for her can of tuna. Do you cook at all while you're there, Paul? It seems like you eat every meal out.
There's no reason to.
Yeah.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, might as well. Sirachi's giving you a giving you the stink
eye.
It's
like, it's dinner time right now.
Like, you're done.
You're done. Show is over,
you know,
man.
But you're done.
Where's my dinner?
It's amazing.
I will yank the router. Don't,
don't
force the issue.
Don't make me yank this router. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
I'm Jason Howell. How do you thank your hardworking team? Well, with a Club Twit corporate subscription, of course. You can show your appreciation and reward your tech team with a subscription to Club Twit, and that way, they'll be informed and entertained with podcasts covering the latest in technology. With a Club Twit subscription, they're going to get access to all of our podcasts ad-free, the members-only Discord, exclusive outtakes, behind-the-scenes and special content, and exclusive shows like Hands on Mac, Hands on Windows, and the Untitled Linux Show. Go to twit.tv/clubtwit and look for corporate plans for complete details.